Good morning. I bring you greetings from your sister seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And thank you, Dr. Dockery, for your friendship now with you and Lanice and Charlotte and I for more than 40 years. And it's an honor to be here to bring an address, a challenge to the Southwestern family that I also love and thank God for so very much. You know, if the Bible being written today, I think we would find in it illustrations from the world of athletics, like baseball and football and basketball, perhaps even golf and tennis, track and field, because when you come to the Bible, you discover that the Holy Spirit many times inspired the writers of Scripture to use illustrations from the world of athletics to teach us about the Christian life. The Bible uses the imagery of wrestling. It uses the imagery of boxing. But many times in the Bible, it is the race that God inspired the writers of Scripture to use to teach us what the Christian life is about. And one of those passages that I think is so helpful and puts things in context, especially for graduates today, is found in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 and reading down through verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter. I still prefer the old King James, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. There are three things I want to put before you this morning as a challenge from these verses. First of all, a word of encouragement. Secondly, a word about essentials. And then thirdly, a word about an example. First of all, a word of encouragement. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He is looking back, I have no doubt, to chapter 11, where you have what is known as God's Hall of Faith, men and women who have already run the race, crossed the finish line, and they are there as a source of encouragement for you and me to stay in the race. But I also think he would say to us today, look around you. You're not in this race by yourself. You're not running this race like a lone ranger, but no, there are others who are in the race with you, and they are there as a wonderful source of encouragement for you to stay in the race. President Dockery mentioned a moment ago my great love and passion for missions, and one of the reasons is I've been encouraged through the years by the witnesses and the stories of great missionaries. When I came to Southeastern Seminary in the year 2004 to be the president, I'd only been there a few months when I received a phone call informing me that five of our wonderful Southern Baptist missionaries in Iraq had been attacked, and four of them had been martyred. Two of them, David and Carrie McDonald, have a connection with this school. Another, Karen Watson, from a wonderful church in California. But there was an older couple by the name of Larry and Jean Elliott who had been graduates, were graduates of Southeastern Seminary. They had been in Central America for many years, and God, they thought the time of ministry and the mission work was over, but God was not through with them, and so they felt the call to leave the comforts of North Carolina again and head to Iraq, where they would be for only a very short time. It happened that their son was a member of the same church that I am a member of, Scott Elliott. And so when I found out what had happened to Scott's parents, I called him and I said, Scott, I just want you to know over here at Southeastern, we are weeping with you, we are grieving with you, and we're so sorry about what happened to your mom and dad. And Scott said to me, well, Dr. Akin, we're doing okay. We're crying a lot, but we're also rejoicing because mom and dad are now with Jesus. And that's what they've always longed for. But then he said, something happened that I think you would find interesting. He said, I received an email from a man that says he is an atheist, and he wrote to express his condolences and his sorrow for what happened to mom and dad. I don't know how he found out. I don't know how he got my email, but he wrote me, and at the end of his email, he said this, isn't it a shame that your mom and dad died for no good reason? Now, he said, I did not get angry with this man. He's an atheist. Why would I get angry with someone who doesn't understand our world? But he said, Dr. Aiken, I did write him back. And I thanked him for writing his email and expressing his condolences, but I said to him at the end, but you were wrong about one thing. My mom and dad did not die for no good reason. And he said, I also said to him, my mom and dad had such a confidence in God's sovereign purpose and plan for their life, that had they known in advance that going to Iraq would have meant their death, they would have still gone anyway. I think about that almost every day, now for 22 years. And I think about it because I ask myself the question, would you do that, Danny Aiken? Knowing in advance that following Jesus would be a time of suffering, a time of pain, maybe even loss of your life, do you trust him so much that you would still go anyway? And I want to tell you, there are many out there that have run the race and are running the race right now, and they are there as a source of encouragement for you and me. Stay in the race. But there are also some essentials. And there are three of them that I think you see very clearly there in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, number one, let us also lay aside every weight. Secondly, and sin, it really should be the sin, and I'll make that point in just a second, the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The author of Hebrews says you must lay aside every weight. You must get rid of any excess baggage that could weigh you down and slow you down and keep you from running your best for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could develop that for a long time, but I'll just leave this with you this morning. Sometimes weights are not bad things. Sometimes weights are good things. But anything that gets in the way of God's best for your life is something you and I need to discard. And listen, there are many, many good things that we can be involved in life, many good things that we can be involved as Christians. But the fact is, we need to make sure as we run this race, we are giving our focus and our attention to those things which are best. Lay aside every weight, but also sin which clings so closely. Now, I don't know why they left out the definite article, because in the original text, it says the sin which clings so closely, the sin, which is something like an octopus in the Christian life that can wrap its tentacles around you so tightly that you can't even run the race. And I am convinced because of the definite article, the sin, and because Hebrews 12 follows Hebrews 11, and because Hebrews 11 says without faith it's impossible to please God, I believe the sin that clings so closely is the sin of unbelief. Now, you may be here this morning and you say, well, wait, Danny, hold on, time out. I'm a Christian. By the very definition of that word, I'm someone who has put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I believe in him. Are you telling me that you think a Christian can be guilty of unbelief? I think many Christians are guilty of unbelief. Because, you see, unbelief is very insidious. It's a sin that operates like this. It worms its way into your life. And it causes you to begin to think something like this. You know, for me to stay in the race, for me to continue to serve the Lord, for me to walk into the future with Jesus, I do need Jesus, plus. And once you add that plus sign, I do not care how you fill in the blank, you now live in the world of unbelief. I need Jesus plus my health. You live in unbelief. I need Jesus plus my mate. You live in unbelief. I need Jesus plus. You add anything to Jesus, and you step into the world of unbelief. Many years ago, I heard Jack Graham speak on this text, and I remember him saying, now still to this day, he said, weights can slow you down, but the sin that entangles you will stop you. And brothers and sisters, you've got to be on guard against those weights, but you've got to be on guard against that sin. And indeed, I pray with all of my heart, graduates, that as you move forward in this race to which God has called you, you can say to the Lord with absolute honesty and truthfulness, Lord, as long as I have you, I have everything I will ever need. That's why I love the end of the Great Commission when Jesus promises those who go to the mission field, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I tell our graduates at Southeastern that when you head to the mission field, I got some good news for you, King Jesus is already there waiting for you. And the Bible says we must lay aside the weights and we must get rid of the sin and we must run the race with endurance. That's why I'm convinced that he is not talking about a sprinter's race. He is talking about a long distance race. Perhaps today he would have even used the phrase the marathon, the 26 mile, 385 yard race. And so it's not that you run well for a season. It's that you run well for a lifetime. I'm now 69. As President Dockery said, I'll be retiring from Southeastern as president in just a couple of months, but I'm not retiring from ministry, and I'm not dropping out of the race. And as I get older, one of my prayers that I lift up to the Lord every single day, and by the way, all you young guys and gals that are here, it's not too soon to start praying this prayer as well. Lord, thank you that I'm running well today, but dear God, by your grace and for your glory, help me run the race and finish well. Help me run with endurance. Help me get to the finish line. And how does that happen? Well, not only are there encouragers and not only are there essentials, but there is an example that the Bible calls us to glue our eyes to. And you see it there in verse 2 where the Bible says, and looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That word looking is a very strong word in the original language. It has the idea of gazing at. It's almost like you've got blinders on spiritually and you can't see to your left, you can't see to your right. All you can see is what is right there in front of you. I believe one of the great ways to illustrate this is what happens when you get married. My wife Charlotte is here and we got married on May the 27th, 1978. By the way, guys, it's always good to remember your anniversary day. Just a word of encouragement to all of you today. The rest of you, that's a good thing to do as well. But anyway, when we got married at the Ash Street Baptist Church in Forest Park, Georgia, now almost 48 years ago, as I held her hands up at the stage of the church there, though I didn't say it exactly like this, I came pretty close to saying it like this. I said, you know, Charlotte, girl, there are a lot of really gifted, talented, beautiful women out there in the world, and there certainly is. But I promise you today, I promise these witnesses today, I promise our future children, I promise our future grandchildren, and I promise the Lord Jesus, I promise I will have eyes from this day forward and for the rest of my life only for one lady. And that one lady is always going to be you. And in the same way, the Bible says there are many things out there that want your heart, that want your time, that want your attention, that want your affection. But when everything is said and done, just glue your eyes to Jesus. Why? Well, he tells you. He is the author and the finisher. He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. The idea is he's the one that got you in the race. He's the one who keeps you in the race. And he's the one that will get you to the finish line. And why can he do it? Well, listen to what it says of him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You notice the word endurance in some form occurs three times in these three verses. And what he is simply saying to us is God's son ran in a race. God had a race for his own son, and that race took him to a hill called Calvary and to an old Roman cross. And the Bible says, for the joy that sat before him, he endured it. He found joy in dying for you and for me because he knew that it was pleasing to his Father, and he knew it was the only way whereby you and I could be forgiven of our sins. He found joy in the cross, and now he is set at the right hand of the throne of God. A number of years ago, I heard a wonderful pastor by the name of Charles Page preach on this text at our seminary. For many years, he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't remember much of his message, but I do remember how he ended, and I end in the same way. As he looked out at a room full of seminarians and college students, and as I today look out at a room full of graduating seminarians and graduating college students, he ended his message by simply saying this, brothers and sisters, never forget this truth. Anything in life that gets your eyes off of Jesus, mark it down, it's not of God. And then he prayed. And you know what? That's a very simple statement. It's a very profound statement, and it's a very true statement. Anything in life that gets your eyes off of Jesus, mark it down, is not of God. And so, Southwestern graduates, it is my prayer for you that as you move into a new chapter of life but stay running in this race, just keep your eyes glued to Jesus. Many people and many things in life will fail you, but he never will. He got you in the race. He keeps you in the race. And he will get you to the finish line. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the promise of your word, that anyone who in faith looks to the Lord Jesus, you will save them. Your word is so clear. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, not only do you save us to keep us from going to hell, but taking us to heaven, you save us to conform us into the image of your Son. And someday when we are glorified, we will be just like him. And so, Lord, for some that are here today, they've never even entered into the race because they've never trusted you. They're here because they love one of these graduates. But Lord, I know these graduates' heart. I know their heart. They would gladly surrender their degree today if a dad or a mom or a brother or a sister or a dear friend would turn from their sins today and put their faith and trust in Jesus and be saved. Lord, I know that that would encourage them as they continue to run in the race. And Lord, I know that they would be blessed by that. So Lord, I pray for them, but I also again pray for these graduates as they run. Help them keep their eyes on you. They will not be disappointed. And this we ask and pray in your strong and saving name, Lord Jesus. Amen.